This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Sharon will read just a selection from the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, where our Lord deals with the challenges, even more the warning for we believers to be vigilant.
And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind. For all the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What I have had Sharon read is only a portion of this 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, a chapter that deals especially with the need for vigilance. Vigilance on the part of believers in the face of persecution. Vigilance as they wait for the parousia, or as we more frequently refer to it, the Lord's coming. Vigilance as our Lord expressed it here, of faithfulness in the household of God, and vigilance in what is truly important in our lives. It is at this point in the ministry of Jesus that the crowds have become quite large. So large, as Luke expresses it, they trod upon one another. With this growing influence, he begins to tell the disciples, and thereby the vast throngs, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And as we learn from the previous chapter, the scribes and Pharisees were pressing Jesus hard, trying to provoke him, lying in wait, just hoping to catch him at something, anything, to accuse him, to thereby lessen his popularity and growing influence. Thus the warning. It is not that they are just hypocrites, which is a human condition, but that they do not understand God's purpose and are seemingly incapable of discerning the true meaning of Scripture. They are only able to give the impression of holiness, nothing deeper. It is something many Christians are susceptible to, playing at piety, our faith when it proves too difficult in practice. As has been said, Christianity has not been proven false, but found difficult and left untried. We in Christ are challenged to reorder our lives around the kingdom of God, God's call to a radical new way of life, of loving each other, where we are to serve others, and where the first are last. Nothing, Jesus tells us here, nothing will be covered up that will not be uncovered. Nothing secret that will not become known. Nothing said or whispered about that will not be fully heard. Such false pretenses, phony facades, and pompous parading will thus mean nothing. Who you really are will come to light. So the call is to be genuine, sincere, and always honest. For as Jesus now continues in clear reference to God's judgment, don't fear those who can kill your body. After that, they can do nothing more to you. This is an argument that is not a comfortable one, but fits perfectly in our Lord's concern for our faithfulness. When one's life is imperiled, God is ultimately the only one we should fear. Yet His nature is such we need never fear Him, despite the fact that it is He that regulates those who will be sent to hell. His nature and character is not that which is often depicted by our detractors as waiting, perhaps eagerly, to throw all those offenders into a lake of fire. Instead, God does not forget one sparrow, even though 5 sparrows are sold for a mere penny, and even the hairs of our head are numbered. So we should not fear God, for to Him we are of far more value than a great many sparrows. But note fully what is being said by Jesus. Sparrows can be sold as the most inexpensive source of food, and believers, yes, Christians, will suffer persecution. But none of this escapes God's attention. None of this is beyond His care. All this leads naturally to His call for us to bear true and faithful witness to Him. Such faithfulness provides no assurance that we will not experience persecution, perhaps just the opposite. Yet our faithfulness to Him and our witness of Him is far more important than what may or may not happen to us. We are to acknowledge Him before others. Otherwise, we will not be acknowledged in the heavenly court. To publicly deny Him leads to a heavenly denial. Here Jesus repeats what both Matthew and Mark also record. That is the sin of obdurance, the unforgivable sin, which is something that has been so misused, confused, and misunderstood. What is being said is that what the Pharisees have said about Jesus has not sealed their fate. Those that have spoken ill of Him, belittled His work, what He has said, these still remain available for forgiveness. So when Jesus speaks of blaspheming, it is against the Holy Spirit, not Him. The very source of our strength, the enabling presence when we face persecution or any threat, to blaspheme is apostasy, the continued and repeated abuse and rejection of that Holy Spirit, which is there to enable us in any crisis, and is as well the source of the mighty works of our Lord. To speak ill of Jesus is one thing, but to speak ill of He who empowers the work of Christ Jesus repeatedly and abusively is apostasy, and obviously leaves one without guidance or strength. To grieve, refuse the Spirit, to abuse and denigrate the Holy Spirit is not only stupid, but unforgivable. But it is also never the experience of anyone who might simply feel that he has done so. An apostate doesn't care. If you worry or care at all, you have still and always will have the concern and love of Jesus Christ. What happens next is not irrelevant, but provides a transition from vigilance in our witness to vigilance concerning possessions. That to fret and worry over property, possessions, is to have an incorrect view of life. A man comes who confronts Jesus and asks him, who he addresses as teacher, one with the wisdom and authority to render him justice, but it is not a request. He directs what Jesus should do. Jesus refuses. He has no interest at all in such mundane squabbles. Instead, Jesus reaches down into the real basis of the problem, greed, the desire for more, more possessions, more anything. And Jesus will, what else, illustrate his point by telling a parable. A rich man's harvest is abundant. It's a real bumper crop. And he would hold the harvest back to achieve an even greater price when the market is not so glutted. He is rich, for he can replace his barns without relying on selling any part of this year's produce. His decision will affect the market price, but he is only concerned about himself. As the man says, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." However, he has done this with no thought of God. He has not entrusted his life to God, not considered that life, our life, is on loan from God. He has not even acted faithfully in regards to what he has been blessed with. He is a fool because he has failed to account for God in any of his plans. It is always so with those who store up treasures for themselves, Jesus says, but are not rich towards God. This allows Jesus to continue his teaching on vigilance, to seek the kingdom and its effect, or the effect it should have on our lives. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, your body, what you will wear. Such worry betrays a confined and limited view of life. For our lives in him are to be so much more. Even a raven, a violent, unclean bird, even these God provides for. How much more we? We surely do not need constant reminding that God is present and cares. But we need to reshape our view of God and allow it to reform our thinking. We worry about so much, and we have no power to add a simple hour to our lifespan. Even the wild flowers in the field, so beautiful and vibrant. If God does that for field grasses used for easy and inexpensive fuel, thrown into the bread ovens, how much more will he do for you? Is our faith so paltry and anemic that we join the world that strives for the passing fancies and the treasures that will not last? The Father knows what we need. Jesus would overturn the worldly values, for such is at odds with God's purpose, for his desire is to give us his kingdom. But this gift has an obligation. Rather than being occupied with building up treasures for this life, as disciples, we are to be concerned with ensuring that we have treasures in heaven. Provide purses that do not wear out, treasures in heaven where no thief can reach or moth destroy. For as Jesus says, where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Without pausing, Jesus continues, we are to be vigilant, prepared, and faithful in our readiness concerning the coming of the Son of Man. As disciples, we are to gird our loins for action and keep our lamps lit, like those waiting for their masters to return from the wedding banquet. All so that they can open the door when he comes and knocks. They wait, for the hour is unknown. And blessed are the servants found alert, regardless of which watch of the night he comes. Again, it leaves open the possibility of the master's delay. The time of his coming is not known. It is like a householder. If he had known when the thief was coming to steal, he would not have left. Clearly, the point is, as Jesus says, we must be ready. In other words, the Lord's coming is unknown, better, unpredictable. Why do so many spend so much time endeavoring to decipher the year, a month, a day, or hour when they believe the Lord is to return? It all amazes me, for this one point is clear. It is unknowable, unpredictable. Peter will ask at this point if these teachings are just for the 12, but there is no distinction between them and anyone else, including us. This is about faithfulness, being vigilant. One steward finds again in his Lord's delay opportunity to abuse those under his charge and to indulge in excess. One is blessed, for he is found at work upon his master's return. The emphasis is on the unknown time of the master's return. Yet his return is certain. He will come. Just how will the steward behave during that delay? This is the climax for faithfulness to one's Lord and what has been entrusted to his care. The behavior of scribes, Pharisees, of priests and elders displays a great lack of fidelity. They live for themselves. But this is not ancient history, for it refers as well to all stewards and workers for the master, all those of our Christian church. We see it when Paul calls for the elders of the Ephesian church on his way to Jerusalem and commends them to God and to remain faithful, taking heed of the flock of God, to be alert for wolves. There are those who will fleece the flock, abuse, manipulate, and twist the churches in their charge. These be aware of. Do not be anywhere near them at judgment, for all that is hidden, spoken in secret, will be revealed. Ignorance is no excuse, for Scripture is plain. We are to be vigilant in our faith, in our calling, in our expectations and hope. But there is no cause for fear, for God has promised the kingdom. He desires to give it to us. All that is ours, our promise, is ours if we align ourselves and our hearts around Him. So face down every threat, every fear, for in faithfulness is everlasting treasures. O my Lord, that the truth, Your kingdom, be real to us, and we understand our need to remain always faithful, to show our faith even, especially, when we think no one sees or would know. For it is here that God's blessings will flow upon us, and your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory. And in the precious name of Jesus, amen and amen.
The Lord's words on being vigilant are vital. We all too often become overwhelmed or too involved in what will indeed pass away. And we need to grasp the truth of what is important, that is, which will last. And our real concern should be to run with confidence the one race that counts. That is why Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his book, Running the Race. This study draws from Thomas's youth and his involvement in competitive running and how it applies to our spiritual life. So when you write this week, ask for Running the Race. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, as you know, your generous monetary support is what keeps the Wings of Healing broadcasts on the air. It is needed in order for us to get the Word of God out to a world so in need to hear the Scriptures. We are so thankful for all of you who have become an integral part of this ministry. Heaven bless all of you. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V64N1. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We do indeed enjoy hearing from those in our radio audience. This from Kristen of San Antonio, Texas, who thanks us for our prayers and praises God for her fast recovery. It is always a time of rejoicing for answered prayer. Dennis will provide our addresses once more,
But now a fresh sound from Travis Kotler as we close our broadcast, performing Faithful God. And until next week, know that He is faithful.
I see you turning ashes to beauty, bringing this dead man to life. And here you are in the midst of the sadness, wiping the tears from my eyes. I can hear the song of redemption filling my heart with your praise. Faithful God, you reign forever. We will hope in your great name. Strong and mighty King of heaven, we will worship you, oh faithful God. Faithful God, you see me as a child who's forgiven, cold in the mercy of Christ. Here I am, unashamed and surrendered. I have been bought with a price. Can you hear the sound of your people shaking the earth?
Sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and also this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering to all those who will write a copy of his book, Running the Race. This wonderful excursion into Dr. Wyatt's youthful days of competition provides insight and meaning to our call to be vigilant, for that is how we will gain the prize. So do write and ask for Running the Race. It is yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna, asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love.